Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Did you spill coffee on your shirt?
Did I?
Oh, I just swore on this podcast. Oops.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is a white shirt.
It is a white shirt. I saw that earlier and I was like,
Terrible.
Terrible.
Oh, man.
El Terrible. Yeah.
Well, you have a tie pin, right?
I do. Yeah.
This is so embarrassing.
Yeah.
I wonder if it happened earlier when I was speaking at Grays Harbor College.
I hope not.
Luckily, it was a dark room.
Hey.
Okay. 150 people of a dark room.
Weird.
Well, they were doing a lot of, like, presentations.
Oh, so they were using
it's like a strategic plan, which was really awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully the coffee came after.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
That's always the worst, spilling coffee on your shirt, and then all you can do is just feel it and notice it all day long.
Well, I didn't notice it or feel it until you just said something.
So you're welcome. Like,
this is a terrible
Are you self-conscious now?
Yeah. I was self-conscious earlier.
That's what I do. I like to make everyone around me uncomfortable. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 34 of CFD's Podcast for Good. My name is Heather Lucas. I am the Fiscal and Policy Coordinator for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and I am joined by...
Jerrica Ferguson. I handle marketing and development for the Washington State Combined Fund Drive, and I'm happy to be here.
Yay! I'm glad you're here. I'm so happy.
Me too.
OMG.
Just doing it again.
Yes, whatever.
Whatever.
Because somebody left us high and dry.
Yeah, it's fine.
Philip
Kerrigan.
So... we're here without him, and we're going to make this podcast amazing.
I cannot wait. The reason I hesitated on saying is because I wasn't sure where that was going, and I needed to figure out what... When you asked me the question of the pod, I got nervous because I was like, wait, what is
you
it?
Did, you weren't prepared for that.
No.
You do have like a few minutes still.
I do. Yeah. I do. But I got a little nervous.
Yeah.
So, okay. Sorry. I was pre-planned.
Well, like I said before, I exist to make you uncomfortable.
Well, I'm okay with it.
Good.
Yeah, because I do like you.
Oh, that's good. That's
good.
Yeah. I like you too.
Oh,
Heather.
Aww.
Did we just become best friends?
Oh my God. Are we Facebook friends?
Yup. So today.
Yeah.
We're talking about furry companions.
What is that?
Those are little things. They're creatures, generally. They generally have hair,
okay,
so making them furry.
Okay.
Typically known cats, dogs.
So we're not including fish on this one.
We aren't. You know, I didn't actually think about that, even though I totally intended for this topic to be about pets.
Wow.
But, yeah, I did kind of...
That's okay. We can do another one for, like, sea life.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just be like, hey, reptiles, you got a snake in your house?
Just like that?
Yeah.
You know, I've held a snake and I was like crawled all through my hair.
Yeah?
Recently. Like
How long ago? A year ago?
Like for someone's birthday?
I wanted you to say 2 days ago. And then I thought when you were telling me that story, you'd be like, yeah, when I was 7. Like, no.
Wait, this got really confusing.
Yeah, right? So snake crawled through your hair. That's cool.
It felt a little bit like, was it Medusa?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Did you feel powerful?
No, I felt very nervous.
Did you feel like it would slither off or fall?
No, I felt like the snake could have like... killed me.
Yeah.
It was very large.
How heavy was it?
Well, not that heavy.
Okay.
I mean, it was probably, like, in comparison, it was like a python.
Sure. I mean, was it like 30 feet long? 10 feet long?
Maybe like 15 or 12.
Okay.
But it was like, it was like a good massage, but also like, wow, you could definitely strangle me.
What was its name? Do you remember?
I think it was like Rose or Rube. Like, that was like an R name. I think it was like Rosie or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A snake called Rosie. That's kind of cute.
Yeah, it was a cute snake. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, it was enough weight that I was like, all right, I got to stand very, very straight.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it went well with my outfit, though.
I was in Illinois for vacation not too long ago, and my Uncle Mike has three snakes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And, of course, we're like, well, we got to look at your snakes. We looked at your dogs, and we touched them. We looked at your cats, and we touched them. So we got to go look at your snakes. Yeah. And he was like, eh, you probably might not want to touch them.
Oh.
And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. So we just looked at the snakes, and one was like a black python. I can't remember what it was, but it was about 8 feet long.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another one that was some other kind of python that was super intense on him.
Hmm.
Like, it was following his movements, ooh, and it was up and kind of like,
yeah,
like wiggling back and forth, yeah, like waving back and forth as snakes do.
Yeah.
But it was watching him, yeah, and he was like, she wants me to feed her. That's why she's doing that. Like, she doesn't want to just bite your face off. Okay. She just, she wants food. So every time he would kind of move to the left, she'd follow him and actually physically move in the cage in her face. It was just like, whew, that snake is intense. And then the third snake was really, really big, but it was just hanging out and chilling.
Yeah. That's kind of nice. Yeah. I like snakes that chill. I'm going to go back and say that maybe this snake was like 8 feet.
Okay.
It was a lot smaller. After I was sitting here while you were talking.
Yeah, you're like, thinking about this
snake. I was like, wait a minute. This snake was a lot smaller.
It
maybe
might not
six.
Have been 100 yards long.
It maybe was just a lot smaller than I thought.
Yeah. But felt big.
It felt, I was nervous. But I think that's really interesting. Your uncle has snakes.
Yeah, three snakes, two dogs, four cats. My family is full of people who
you have a
really
lot, you
do.
Have a lot of cats.
Yeah, like the animal thing is a big deal. My mom's a Snow White. It passed down to me and my brother. Mm. We're all Snow Whites, so like we can sit outside and all the birds start showing
I've
up.
I've seen that happen with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, squirrels, birds, they're crows. Like, hey, sup?
Yeah.
I love you.
I've seen you at lunch.
And then I'm like, yeah, I know. I love you too.
I think that's great though. We need people like you out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need Snow Whites in the world.
Yeah, we need more.
Would you, if you didn't know me and you saw me sitting outside and birds were hanging out with me and I started doing the like Disney princess like, ah, and singing to them? Would you be like, what? Or would you be into that?
I would be like, huh, and keep walking. I would be like, that's so great for that person.
Yeah.
But
she's a weirdo, or?
Well, you know, I want to say that I would be nicer about it, but I definitely probably maybe would watch from afar.
Would you record it and be like, look at this craziness
No,
happening?
I'm like anti-technology on that.
Yeah.
I like to be in the moment. So then I could call my mom and tell her later, like, Mom, you'll never guess who I saw today.
Nice.
Snow White came back.
Literal Disney princess.
Yeah, literally.
The birds were talking to her. Yeah. They made her a dress and she sat there.
Mom, it got weird.
It was incredible.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, I actually didn't even mention who we were talking to today.
Well, who are we talking to?
Jeez, we got really on a tangent there about snakes. So, furry companions is the topic of today. And we spoke with Concern for Animals, Sella Hyde. She's the Outreach and Development Coordinator at Concern for Animals.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that interview will be happening in a moment, but let's get back to the furry part. And I'm sure the furry part doesn't exactly have to do with your first pet, but question of the podcast, Jerrica Ferguson, what was the name of your first pet? Do you remember?
So
now that I've given you time, and you
so
might be a little more comfortable.
Here's the thing about my first pet.
Okay.
I wasn't, like, when they had the pet.
Yeah.
I, like, just became born, and the cat's name was Sneakers, so I don't really associate Sneakers as my technically first pet. Then we got another cat, because Sneakers, unfortunately, was attacked by, a sewer rat.
Oh, wow.
But lived, totally took down that sewer rat. However, Oregon got crazy. So anyways, my parents sadly had to put Sneakers down.
Okay.
Because it was getting infected. However, way too much information.
Yeah.
So I had this new cat. Originally named Precious, but then we moved up to Washington, and apparently my parents just didn't like the name.
Yeah.
And so they're like, I don't know, like, the cat kind of sneaks around in the house all the time. You should just name it Sneakers. But, like, they also didn't care as much for the cat as much as, like, I cared for the cat.
Sure.
So it was just named Sneakers 2.
Yeah.
So that was really my first pet name, was Sneakers 2.
Okay.
But I then had a dog right after that, which I really associate as, like, my first pet.
Sure.
Because it was, like, I chose and, like, I signed a contract with my parents. Like, I would take care of the pet.
Okay.
So, like, this is, like, my first pet. And it was so unoriginal. My dad actually named the pet. And it was Buddy.
Buddy.
Buddy the dog.
What kind of dog was it?
It was a Jack Russell Terrier.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very hyper.
Yeah.
And I originally wanted a beagle. But then I found out they had like a lot of like nasal issues.
Sure.
I just wasn't ready if I could take care of that. So
then how old were you when this happened?
I was in seventh grade. My brother left. And so I made
He was older.
He was older. So he left. He moved out of the house. And I looked at my parents and I was like, I now have to get a dog.
Yeah. To replace the boy. To replace
the boy in my house. Yes. So then it became Buddy. And we're great pals.
Nice. Did you carry Buddy around a lot?
No, I'm definitely not like carrying your animal kind of
person,
but Buddy and I would definitely lay on the ground together.
Sweet.
Yeah, we were very cuddle buds. But he got really protective a lot too. He was like, don't leave. And I'd be okay, you can keep my feet warm. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It was a cute dog. Black and white.
Nice. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty cute dog. What about you?
So I don't remember my first pet, but I have one picture of me with my first pet. So I'll talk about that one and then my actual, like, what I consider my first pet.
I understand.
So there's a picture of me and I'm like 4, maybe, sitting on the ground in the kitchen next to a chihuahua. And I named that chihuahua Mr. President.
Okay.
That was Mr. President. So I only have this one picture and I'm smiling and the dog is looking. We're both just facing the same way, just there. So I don't really remember Mr. President, but apparently that was my dog.
Cool.
But the first pet that I really remember and been like, yes, that's my pet. Her name was Shay.
Cool.
And she was black and this little tiny cat. And she was long and she was weird. And it's something that I've noticed since, like, we got this cat in, like, 1996. So since I've had cats after, if the cats are weird and into disgusting stuff, they are my cats.
Ah.
Yeah. So if the cats are, like, nice and kind of like, ooh, loud noises, I'm not cool with that, they've always been my mom's cats.
Yeah.
They love her.
Yeah.
But the weird ones love me.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised. The disgusting ones
love me.
I'm not too surprised by that.
Yeah. Yeah, you shouldn't be.
But so, you collect that.
Yeah,
you like that.
I do like the disgusting, weird stuff.
Yeah.
So Shay would get into shoes. She would do this thing sometimes where, like, she'd start walking across the living room to go somewhere, and then she'd stop and then do this extensive kind of weird long pose thing. It's like, why are you voguing? Are you voguing? Why are you voguing? Stop voguing. And then she'd just look at you and keep doing it. I'm like, dude, what is happening right now?
She's just a model.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cute.
And then she used to do this thing, too, where she would climb onto your lap, kind of crawl up next to your face a little bit, like purring, wanting some cozy pets, but then totally expect you to catch her because she'd flop herself onto you.
Trust fall.
Trust fall. It was totally a trust fall. And there were definitely times when I wasn't paying attention, and she just... And the one time she did fall on the floor. But then she was like, oh, okay, well, I'm coming back. And she just totally came right back and was like, all right, you ready to catch me now? All right, dude, I'm ready.
That's very cute. I'm ready. I like that.
So I consider her to be my first pet more than anything because I do have the most memories. And she lived for like 16 years. So, you know, she was part of the
That's
family
awesome.
A long, long time.
Yeah. That's cute. Like little black cats.
Little black cat. She was adorable. So, on that note, let's kick it off to the interview with Sella Hyde, the Outreach and Development Coordinator with Concern for Animals. Here it is. All right, I'm here with Sella Hyde, the Outreach and Development Coordinator with Concern for Animals. Sella, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Great. So, can you give us a little history about Concern for Animals and what your organization does for the community?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit organization that's aimed at helping low-income pet owners in Mason, Thurston, and Lewis County with expenses related to pets. These are people that would otherwise look at abandonment, surrender, or euthanasia as their only options, so we offer a solution to that. And we've been doing it for 39 years now.
Okay, and you said Thurston, Mason, Lewis County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right on. So, this podcast is about furry companions. We've talked about animals and different aspects on the podcast before. But, you know, as far as having a furry companion, I mean, can you talk about benefits to having an animal in your home?
I think there are a lot of benefits to having an animal in your home. One of the biggest ones, of course, is that you have someone who's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an emotional support,
which
all of us need at some point.
Yes, very much so.
They can help relieve stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's not their sole purpose, but it's something that can help us as people approach our lives better. I think that they can add a sense of protection.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of emotional support with them, even if we aren't communicating in the same language. And honestly, they just bring a lot of joy to your life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure there are, like, a ton of studies about how having an animal lowers stress or, like, heart disease. I've seen some stuff about, like, animals, like cats and dogs are like, yeah, if you have a cat or dog in your home, you're going to be somebody who is, like, exercises more because you take your pet out and walk them, or they just generally lower your stress overall. Something that I saw on your website was about medical costs. And, of course, like, unexpected medical costs, they happen to everybody. But sometimes pet owners can't always afford those costs. What could a pet owner do to help ease the burden of just an unexpected medical cost when it comes to their pet care?
We always recommend giving us a call, of course, to see if you qualify for one of our vouchers. We get yearly grants that can help alleviate the emergency medical bills by up to $75.
Okay.
Or we have some senior grants that can take off $300 of the end bill.
Nice.
So we would always encourage you to call to see if you qualify for one of ours. And then other organizations in your direct area have benefits that are there to help you. Mm-hmm. Places like Joint Animal Services, Humane Societies, those kind of places get grants that are specifically to help with emergency medical costs, spay neuter costs, things like that.
Okay.
You can also try the online method of crowdsourcing. There's GoFundMes, of course, but there's also pet-specific places you can go, like Waggle or Red Rover.
Okay.
And those places let you use community sourcing as a way to help pay your medical costs. Red Rover specifically does granting for emergency medical.
Okay, that's really cool. So your website has a link for animal care tips. And when I clicked on it, I expected stuff about like grooming or noticing your pets doing something, acting strangely regarding a health issue. But right off the bat, there were disaster kits and survival kits and emergency preparedness. So that's something I didn't expect to see, and I'm guessing that's not a conversation or a thought for most people. Can you speak about having an emergency preparedness kit or a disaster kit for pets in your home?
Yeah, I think having a kit like that is just as important if you have a pet as having a kit for yourself.
Okay.
You should have a go plan for yourself and your family, but you need to make sure to take your pet into consideration with that. And a lot of people leave that to the last minute. So if an earthquake happens, you know to get your shoes on and to get the kid, but your dog that might be scared and run in the basement and hide under the bed, you might not think to go check there. So creating a kit that has everything to take care of a pet's injury that could result from a disaster, but also having a plan in place on where to go check if your pet's scared during these events.
Yeah. And as far as the kits that you guys have available, what do they consist of?
Yeah, so the kits that we offer are through Quake Care, and the pet-specific ones, they have a 72-hour supply of food,
okay.
They have portable drinking water, they also have purification tablets so that you can clean up the water that's in your vicinity.
Yeah.
They have foldable bowls, thermal blankets, and they have decals you can put on your windows in your house so that if an emergency responder is coming in, they know that there are pets inside.
Okay. Is that, that would be something too. I wouldn't think that, like, it's the first thing you're able to get is your pets out of the home. So if there are pets still there, then emergency responders could know that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the family decals that are on your car.
So, concern for animals, you guys have animal adoption services. Like, you go through different places. Like, how does that work? Is it through Concern for Animals that you have adoption services?
So generally, the misconception is that we're a rescue or adoption facility.
Okay.
We're actually just an organization that deals with the medical vouchers and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We happen to help dismantle feral cat colonies.
Okay.
And so what happens with that is we take kittens, rescue them from the feral cat colonies, rehabilitate them, and then adopt them out. So generally, adoption isn't the main focus of what we do at Concern for Animals, but it plays into the part that we play in dismantling feral cat colonies in the community.
Okay.
We rescue kittens from the feral cat communities, and then we rehabilitate the kittens in office and adopt them out to loving forever families.
Sure.
We'll also help people in the community if they need to get their adoptable pet out in front of the public. We use our social media presence to help facilitate that.
Okay, that's cool. And like the feral cat communities, do you know how many cats are coming from those communities that you're rehabilitating each year?
almost all of our kittens are. We get, in the last 4 months, we've had, I'm counting them in my head, we've had over 15 kittens in the last 4 months that have come in through feral cat colony rescues.
Yeah.
And that's just 4 months of the year.
Yeah, and I don't know when the major cat breeding season is. Is it over?
We're at the very end of kitten season, thankfully.
Yeah, okay. And as far as, like, cats, dogs, rabbits, gerbils, all those kinds of things, is it predominantly cats that you guys are focused on, or are there dogs and other animals in there, too?
Considering that our space is too small to house the other large animals we help, a lot of people think that we only do cat care.
Okay.
We actually have grants that cover medical and other expenses for rodents, reptiles, dogs, cats, and any domesticated pet.
Okay.
And we provide food for them at the food bank, and all of our vouchers are applicable.
Nice. So this may be a controversial question, but I'm going to throw it out there. Who's better? Dogs or cats, and why?
This is the craziest question because I am 100% a dog person my entire life, and okay. Now I work in an office with a bunch of cats, and mm-hmm. I am spending all my time with cats, and I ended up owning a cat, so I would say a cat person masquerading as a dog person.
Ah, okay, okay. You did a very political thing there by answering yes to both without, you know, I think you're going to make sure that the dog people are happy and the cat people are happy with that answer.
Ideally, just both in your home at all times, pettable.
Yeah, yeah, right? And then they're friends.
Yeah.
They get along. They're hanging out, having a good time at home. All right, so let's say someone hears this podcast and they want to begin giving to Concern for Animals. Can you talk about what donations do for your organization?
Any donation helps us a lot. We post our kitten litters online, and we remind people that even a donation of $3.25 can feed an entire 5-cat litter for a full meal.
Yeah.
So even the smallest donation helps us. Every donation goes towards helping the animals, helping fund the medical vouchers. It can help pay our administrative costs so that we can keep operating in our building. All of those get covered with the donations that come in. We are a nonprofit, so we don't operate on bringing in cash from the people we're helping. Yeah. Those donations are what really build our foundation.
And is that the focus, that the people who need assistance, they get the assistance, like, free of charge because you get the funding?
Yeah. Those grants really help them. It's people that really could not afford it, and they would be looking at those kind of scary alternatives like surrender or abandonment or euthanasia.
Yeah. So do you have any upcoming events or programs you'd like to highlight?
We do. We actually have our annual fundraising event that's coming up November 9th.
Okay.
It's called Toast for Tails, and it's a live auction, silent auction, dinner, and a wine, beer, and cider tasting.
Oh, nice.
And our live auction includes things from artisans that we have hand-painted chairs. We have quilts that are donated by quilting communities. We also have tickets to Sounders games. But really, it's a wide variety of stuff. We even had last year an African safari giveaway that sold off at the auction.
Nice. So
there's something for everyone there. And right, it's $50 beforehand for a ticket, $60 at the door.
Okay, and where is that?
It's going to be at the Capitol Event Center.
Okay, right on. So November 9th coming up. Well, Sella, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking with me about Concern for Animals and those dogs and cats that are getting help every day.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
That was our interview with Sella Hyde with Concern for Animals. So animals, Concern for Animals specifically, there have been definitely volunteers and fundraisers held for this organization. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very popular charity within the CFD.
Actually, a few of our volunteers put a fun run on. Concern for Animals is one of them. I actually know a few volunteers that actually assist in the trappings around Olympia. What they do, it's actually really interesting. I know she kind of talked a little bit about it, but what's really interesting is that, to me, you just call, and they have these volunteers that are willing to come out and, like, actually take a look at where the cats are. And what they do,
like,
is
feral cats?
Yeah, they'll take them, they'll spay neuter, and then they'll actually bring them right back.
Yeah.
But that way, or if not, they can actually rescue them and then go through adoption.
Yeah.
Which I think is just really, really interesting. One of what's funny is Dawn, who works with us,
mm-hmm.
She was in her backyard, and all of a sudden she saw one of our CFD volunteers, yeah. who's a volunteer on the side for Concern for Animals, and she was like getting the cats, like calling, like trying backyard. To like trap them,
yeah.
Where she then brings them to their location and gets them all fixed up and then brings them right back.
Yeah.
And it's just a really cool organization. That they have an opportunity for so much volunteering that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then thus the donations can really give back and really help.
Yeah.
I just think it's really neat how many CFD volunteers are interested in Concern for Animals.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do have a ton of services. So if you go to their website, there's a link for the services. And they've got things like low-cost spay and neuter vouchers. They help out with assistance for medical care, for grant funding. They've got a pet food bank.
Wow.
They also work with rescue and adoption, so they do work with some third parties on stuff like that.
Cool.
You mentioned the trapping. They also have additional procedures where they can connect you with things like veterinarians or service providers for medical procedures. And then they also list this thing about how many animals they assisted last
Ooh,
year.
Ooh, let's listen.
So last year, they spayed and neutered 355 animals, and that was about a $13,900 cost. $13,827
wow.
was what that was. So, like, that is something that's up there.
Yeah.
And not everybody can afford to have their animals spayed or neutered. So, mm-hmm. that is a service that they help provide. They spent $35,000 in medical care for 433 animals last year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a big deal. And it's
yeah,
a lot
they're
that
really
they
helping.
Do.
Yeah.
And then they had food bank stuff. So, they've got, like, litter and cats and dogs for types of food. And last year, they had 21,222 pounds of dry dog food.
Wow.
In their facility.
See, that's amazing that they have the opportunity to be able to pass that out to
totally.
People in the community that, you know, what we talked about last week was, like, medical bills. Well, mm-hmm. think about if you have pets.
They I have mean, medical bills, too.
Yep. And so, like, what's really great is that this organization assists with helping, you know, you take care of your own pet.
Yeah, because like we talked about last week, insurance, nobody cares about it until we really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have insurance for yourself, you definitely don't have insurance for your pets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, it was a good interview. And then we talked about the things that they provide. But moving on to upcoming events, still, Philip Kerrigan, the CFT program manager, if you guys were looking to get in touch with him for anything, or if you were working with him on anything, redirect your comments or your questions, your needs back to the CFD at our email address or our phone number, cfd@sos.wa.gov. Phone number 360-902-4162. You can definitely find that on our webpage as well, give.wa.gov. But yeah, he's gone.
He
so,
is.
Good riddance.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We love him.
No, we'll miss him.
Yeah, we will. And we have all of our trainings are complete, which
yep.
is fantastic. But if you as a volunteer need anything, supplies, questions answered, just reach out to
mm-hmm.
us and we will definitely help you out with that.
For sure. A big shout out for, as a reminder, next week, September 30th, we have our first week to give. Make sure that you get your donations in through payroll right then and there to any charity of your choice. Again, it's just $5 to start a donation or $5 by upping a donation, or you can actually volunteer some time. So as example for Concern for Animals, they need volunteers. So if you're going to volunteer, think about that week, and you can get yourself a Starbucks gift card. We also have a really cool thing we're bringing back called CFD Double Days during this week. It's on that Thursday. What this means is you can actually get yourself another $5 Starbucks gift card. Huge thanks to WSECU for being our sponsor during this first week to give.
Yeah, first
and
week to
these
give
podcasts.
So great, yeah. WSECU is really helping us out with
yes,
a lot of these things.
They are.
It's awesome. So after we kick off the campaign, we'll be in October, and October 19th, we've got the CFD Masquerade Ball.
Whoop, whoop.
It is in the Capitol building.
Yes.
It starts at 7 p.m. Fancy dress, hors d'oeuvres, beer and wine. We're going to have casino night yet again.
I'm wearing a suit.
I was thinking of wearing a suit as well.
Yeah, I'm going to wear a suit with suspenders. It's going to be super
CFD
cute.
CFD ladies suiting it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's an art gallery, a silent auction. It's going to be fabulous.
Parlor games,
parlor
DJ,
games.
Mm. Music, entertainment.
And Philip is going to be there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Well, if you want to say hi to him, you can say hi to him there.
Yeah, but you got to get a ticket, though, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have tickets available, $85 each. VIP sold out. So yeah. If you were expecting to get one of those bad boys, it is too late. After that, upcoming, The Bite of Ellen I. It's October 29th. We'll get some more info from them, but essentially, it is a big deal.
It's delicious.
It is delicious. There are foods from all over the world. Local people making food from... Where'd you eat last year? Do you remember what you ate last year?
Yeah.
I feel like I ate Filipino food. I ate Ethiopian food.
I definitely ate Ethiopian food. I went around the world tour on that one.
Yeah.
I just got one of their like big plates and I was like,
fill it up, right?
$2 every here, everywhere. Yeah.
The bites that they give are definitely like, if you're curious about a food that you've never heard of before, mm-hmm. or you've always wanted to try, but you're just like, I don't want to spend $15 and go out for a meal at this place that I've never been.
Yeah.
Go to The Bite of Ellen I. Try out the food.
They also have really good baked goods too.
They do. Yeah. I got a lemon cupcake. Lemon.
All right, right, right.
Delicious,
right.
Delicious.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, so Bite of Ellen I, we'll have more info to come for that. October 29th is when that is expected to be.
Awesome.
So that is it for this week's podcast about furry companions. Thank you, Jerrica, for joining me this week.
You are so welcome, Heather. I can't wait to see you next week.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Bye.